Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 13th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 64. We're going to read the third full paragraph beginning with, "Resentment is the number one offender," and ending with, "We were burned up." We're reading and commenting on this one powerful paragraph, only this morning. Today's readers are Jody E., Hillary B., reading page 164, and Juanita M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Betsy. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, December 12, 2024, is 21,992 or 21992, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,994 or 21994. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Excuse me. This is Rhonda R., very grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you, and happy Friday, everybody. I will pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Terry G. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. And good morning to everybody. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict, and I'm from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group. Conscious, our leaders are but trusted servants. they do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should refrain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, televisions, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to replace principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service today. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G., for being of service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except speakers, should be muted. Please and thank you. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 64, the third full paragraph, beginning with, resentment is the number one offender, and ending with, we were burned up. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. And I will now ask Jody E. to please begin reading. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. Ah, what a paragraph. So very true, and yet so difficult at times to see in myself. But indeed, when I straighten out this spiritual malady, when I become spiritually fit, I straighten out mentally and physically because my food is in order, which is a big part of my mental and physical well-being and my spiritual well-being. So I want to do this. I want to take this fourth step because I want to be well physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I'm willing to take a look at this. What am I angry about? Who do I resent? What do I resent? Not just people, but institutions, principles, everything I can think of. And then I ask myself, why am I angry? What is it affecting? Is it affecting my pocketbook, my ambitions, my personal relationships? Are these things threatened? Then I look, take a look at that. And very often one or more of those is involved. This is making me think back. Well, I'm thinking back to my marriage, which did not survive. And I was often angry at my husband. I blamed him for my problems, my frustrations. I had a very hard time making a living, and I blamed him for that. I blamed the relationship for that. I wanted to change where we lived, and he didn't want to change where we lived, and that made me angry. I felt like he was keeping me from having what I wanted in life. So I blamed him. There was a time I remember I wanted him to die. And that's a sad, sad thing to be in a place like that. And it's a very deep spiritual sickness. And I'm just very grateful that I found this way of life, that I found this fellowship that uses this book as a textbook for recovery because it really works. And I no longer feel that I'm living in resentment. And I feel like I have straightened out mentally, physically, and spiritually. And what a blessing that is. What a tremendous blessing. I can feel my higher power using as a channel of my higher power. And that is such a fantastic feeling to be given my life to God and to feel like I'm being used by God. Thank you, Stephanie. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jody E. It was such a great way to get us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I'll remind you when your time is up, and please finish up promptly. And for our lineup, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Oh, H.
I heard H.
Mo.
Hey,
OH from
Mo,
Walnut Creek.
Yes. Okay.
Tiffany C.
I've got Tiffany C.
KS.
Hillary B.
S is in Sam or Frank?
Yes, as in Sam.
Okay. I've got you, Hillary.
Thank you.
Chanel T.
I've got you, Chanel. Anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay. I have Mo H, Tiffany C, KS, Hillary B, Chanel T. We're going to start with Mo H and then Tiffany C. And everyone, please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. It's Mo H. calling from Walnut Creek, California. My alarm just went off. Wow, what a paragraph. Boy, this paragraph just really nails it, is the way I say it. It's just full of directions. And, you know, all the years I was in the program until I started studying the big book, I didn't have these directions this clearly described. You know, resentment's number one offender, and I've heard the word taken apart that re means to do again, and centauri means to feel. So resentment means we are re-feeling over and over and over again. And as with the first share, I just grew up in resentments. Blaming other people, not liking other people, wanting other people to do things my way, which is part of the selfishness. And this particular paragraph, it just gives all the directions. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. That means things that were bothering me. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, we found out that here it is, self-esteem, pocketbooks, which means our finances, our ambitions, which means our goals, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. When we were sore, we were burned up. Wow, what words. So it's a, you know, those are directions. And, you know, when I learned to follow the directions, when I was taught by another person who had been studying the big book, it became very simple. You know, she said, okay, first column, that's all you're going to do, and you're going to do it like a grocery list, and you list down your resentments, all the people you are resentment at. And, of course, the very first time I did it, you know, it was a couple of pages long. Now when I do a fourth step again, if I need to, because I'm usually doing tenths to help me stay spiritually fit, now it's just the current resentments. If I have a current one that is going on and it is being going over in my head over and over and over again. And, you know, that's why this program works as different from all the other diet programs I went on, is because we really look at ourselves and what is bothering us and how I can not fix it, but how I can improve, how I can grow. And this program is one about growing. That's why we do 11 and 12 every day.
That's time.
So I think that's my time. I think I will pass. Yeah. Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much. Mo H. from California. Next up, we've got Tiffany C. followed by KS. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning. My name is Tiffany C. I am recovered in Oklahoma. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everybody else that's contributed to making this meeting possible. I really connected with the previous share about, you know, having the same thing replay. And not just how I connected was not just having the same thing replay, but the word that popped in my head was being on a continual loop. And, you know, when I get in resentment, I'm angry at somebody. And then I normally act out on that frustration when I'm not in the steps, when I'm not practicing these tools and I'm not bringing God in, I normally act out on it. And then they get resentful or retaliate. And then, you know, the loop just continues. And what was really interesting to me is like sitting down with what the cause was and keeping it 19 words or less, you know, what they did to me is really not as important as what my part is, you know, how I react and respond to these things that get to me. And play it in my head over and over. And really finding out, like, you know, what can I do differently? How can I show up different to these situations where I am not in the continual loop and the things aren't continuing to happen? Whether I need to separate myself from an individual or whether I need to work through it with God and ask, you know, how I can respond to these situations. There's always an answer, though, and usually it's not me, you know, my will, because it wants to immediately get right in it and an attack. And so, you know, today I'm just really grateful for this connection with a higher power that balances me and helps me show up differently. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany C. from Oklahoma. Next up, we've got KS followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning.
Oh,
yes,
there
I
you
did.
Are. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I hope everyone's doing well. It's freezing here, so we're in Iowa. I love this particular paragraph. Just sums up so much of where I kept getting stuck, that replay. I kept getting stuck. And one of the things I realized, being someone who is kind of sensitive, that sometimes I almost attracted some of the behavior because I was easy to get a reaction out of. And so today, even though I'm still the same person, I still get hurt, sometimes a little too easily. Sometimes I'm great, I'm so patient, it completely goes off my radar. But if I'm in that hungry, angry, lonely, tired state, I know that I am a good target if somebody's, you know, whatever, wanting to play around and get somebody. There's just people out there that sometimes like to do those things. But it was my reaction, and I realized that I was part of the problem. Even though it was me that got angry, it never worked out well for me. I had to learn to stop reacting to certain people. And one of the things that was great about finding program later in life and applying this was, it taught me how to do that, how to release that, how to make, don't let other people be your higher power. You know, whatever they say, that might be more about them than you, and how to get reconnected to God and being the person I want to be in that moment. And now what I find is I'm going to be me no matter what. As I go through life, my nature will be the same, but I just have so many choices now that I can do life a little bit more with dignity, and I get to it faster. I'm not going to say I don't still feel it. I'm not going to say that certain things don't still get to me, but I have these pages, and I know what to do now. I take responsibility for when I'm getting burned up or when I'm angry. It's not their fault anymore. It's totally mine, and the good news is I can do something about that, whereas I can't do something good about maybe other situations. So the program is just wonderful, the things it taught me that I just didn't learn anywhere else. So that's all I have for today, and thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, KS from Iowa. Next up, we've got Hillary B, followed by Chanel T, and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Hillary B from Southern California, Pacific Time. And resentment is definitely the number one offender in me. Yeah, I thrived on resentments. It made me feel superior to other people because they were so terrible, you know? And everyone else has already shared everything I have to share, but I'm just going to share it for myself too. I've loved the sharing so far. Thank you. And I resent people because I don't want to take responsibility for whatever's wrong with me. Whatever I'm upset about, I don't want to see it. I use food and I use anger/resentment. And it's such a gift to be able to see it. I don't like seeing it. I mean, really, it's not enjoyable. I'm not proud of it. But it's free, because then I can look at myself. My husband was just in the hospital for like 6 days. He just got out on or Thursday, when I can't keep track of the days. And while he was in the hospital, I was really practicing being loving, and, you know, because my heart went out to him and I didn't want to lose him. And I saw all the things, reasons why I want him in my life. But boy, once we got home, the old me started taking over me and I couldn't stand him. And it's over little ridiculous things that I don't have time to list. But to be able to not open my mouth over it and let it pass and do a step 10. And it really didn't pass just from the step 10, but after my meditation this morning, it's all gone. And what I get to see one more time is when I'm at peace and I'm not drained, I have love to give. When I'm drained, when I do too much, when I overdo and I whatever I do, then I get empty. Then I get angry at him because I'm not able to see that I'm empty. And so also fear. Fear is always at the bottom of every resentment. When I have these fears of I'm not good enough, I shoulda, woulda, coulda done things differently. This is my third husband, by the way. And this is the same way I've been in every marriage. It's me. It's obviously me. None of the men I've been married to have really been abusive or mean or anything. It's just me being unhappy and knowing if I could change men, I'd be happy. And that is a lie. So I get to show up in, you know, this time and look at my part with
Hillary.
These steps. Oh, thank you for timing me. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Hillary B. in California. Next up, we've got Chanel T. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hi, everybody. I'm Chanel. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today by the grace of God. So not only is resentment the number one offender, it destroys more alcoholics, more compulsive eaters than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. I re-feel. Why? I get that payoff, as others have shared, of feeling that I don't have to take responsibility. I get to re-feel being the victim. I get to defend my sense of injustice. And I'm not saying nothing has happened to me or anyone else that was unjust. Of course, some horrific things have happened to me and to others. But as long as I continue to refill and hold on, I'm not saying I'm going to forget those things happened. They're part of my life. They're part of my experience. But as long as I hold on to the grudge, I hold on to the sense of injustice. I hold on to these feelings of I was wronged, and I may have been, but I'm going to hold on to it with all my might, with a death grip, literally. I am blocked. I cannot be free. I will dwell in victimhood. I will not be victorious. Whereas, as it says right after that, when the spiritual malady, because it's that we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. So when I work on the spiritual by doing this fourth through ninth step and continuing on in my work, God removes the malady that is affecting me physically and mentally day after day, one day at a time, but I can have permanent recovery one day at a time. I don't ever have feelings again. I don't ever therefore have to turn to the food and the food behaviors again. And what for me is the ultimatum is it's one or the other. I get to live in my resentments and my victimhood, my fear. Or I get to live in the freedom that's offered to me by God through this program. I get the choice, and I get it every day. I get it every single day. So today I choose life. I choose to be part of life. I choose to not dwell in the past. Excuse me. I choose to not dwell in who I think I was and who I think everybody else should be and how the world should be. This is a reminder to me, if I sound like I'm preaching to myself, okay? Right now, I get to live in this moment, as imperfect as it is or feels, and realize that God has for me and does for me what I can't do for myself. And I get to be there. I get to show up for myself. I get to show up knowing God or whatever my conception of a higher power is. And I get to show up for others in a way I've never been able to do. Is it uncomfortable at times? Oh, heck yeah. But is it beautiful? It really is. The messiness of life is really beautiful for me today. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Chanel T. in Washington. And before I get another lineup, let me remind everyone where we are this morning. So we're on page 64. We read the third full paragraph beginning with, resentment is the number one offender, ending with, we were burned up. And so we read that and we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And also want to remind you that if you have shared on any of the vision meetings over the last couple of days, Wednesday or Thursday, please allow others to share this morning. So who would like to share? Please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Carol, I've got you, Ronnie B.
Missouri C.
Was that Cheryl Ann?
Carol Ann.
Carol Ann.
Carol.
Carol?
Carol.
Cheryl.
Carol
Ann.
C.
I'm so sorry, Carol Ann. And where are you calling from, Carol?
California.
California. Okay. Got you.
Stephen G. Stephen G. Toronto.
Stephen G. Toronto. Gotcha.
Jan. Arizona.
I didn't hear two. I heard two people on top of each other. Can you please say it again?
Suri C.
Terry C.
S-U-R-I.
Suri C. And where are you calling from?
New York.
New York. Gotcha.
Jan C. Arizona.
Got you, Jan.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we'll hold here. This may be
Jerry S. California.
Well, Jerry, I'm not sure we'll get to you, but we'll try. So I've got Ronnie B., Carol Ann, Stephen G., Suri C., Jan C., Jerry S. We're going to start with Ronnie B., followed by Carol Ann. And good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater. So whenever I hear stuff about the resentments and the reliving of it, you know, if I banged my foot and it really hurt, I don't think I would keep taking my foot and banging it against something. I just don't think I would do that. But with a resentment, I can do that, have done it, and probably will do it again in my life. And in fact, I was doing it this morning. And then when I started to hear all these great things, they are great things, even though they were painful things, you know, about like my own indignation, my own self-righteousness, and not wanting to look at my part at all if I believe their part is greater, which of course I generally do, which is why I have a resentment, right? But recently, and I don't remember if it was on a phone meeting or where it was, I just don't remember, I heard this great thing for me. And he was talking about, could have even been on this meeting, he was talking about when we do a fourth step, you know, we have three columns and then the fourth, which is our part. He said he adds a fifth column. And my first thought is, oh my God, like how many more columns? You know, we're never going to get done with this. anyway, the fifth column was really a breakthrough. because the fifth column was, how do I think God sees this whole situation? Well, holy cow, that was like a great big giant flashlight. Because one of the things I was resentful over had to do with a sibling, and this is the third year it's going on, and it's a sibling, and the behavior really was bad. In fact, I had to call the police at one point, and so I did, and I'll never know if that was right or wrong. I just know there was a real threat, a true real threat, and so like now. My kids went to visit him. It's their godfather and uncle. And my first thought is, I'm going to be okay with this. And then I'm like, I'm not okay with it. And every time I was not okay with it, it's because I kept reliving his part, not any of my parts. And then with God's flashlight, that fifth column, my brother lives rurally. He gets almost no company. It's pretty much an isolation situation. Like he's in his mid-60s, not in good upper 60s, not that's old because I'm older, but not in good health, and not very many people in his lifetime. So I just want to say the fifth column has been instrumental. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Ronnie B. from Missouri. Thank you. Next up, we've got Carol Ann, followed by Stephen G. Good morning, Carol Ann.
Good morning. Carol Ann here from California, compulsive eater. When I learned my resentments were all due to my actions, it changed my life. Knowing I didn't have to hold on to the resentment and having a way to remove them has made my life so much better. I'm kinder, more compassionate. I finally understand it's not all about me. I'm so grateful for this program that has shown me a new way to live, to be serene and happy. Thank you all for all your shares, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Carol N. from California. Next up, we've got Stephen G., followed by Suri C. Good morning, Stephen.
Yeah, good morning. Stephen G., I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. Yeah, for a long time in this recovery program, prior to discovering the Big Book, I spent a lot of time thinking about what does this mean to the third step, to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. And, of course, when you study the Big Book, it becomes clear that that step is just for brief contemplation. And then we move on to step four, and now we have the first instruction. Here's how you turn your will and your life over to the care of higher power, Stephen, is first, make a list of all your resentments. And, of course, my mind was a resentment machine. When I did step four, I had 80-plus resentments. And, of course, I couldn't see that that just felt normal to me. And when I put them down on paper and worked through this process, I started to see that the problem was not in the external world, but the problem lies in my own thinking. And it tells me here what is the normal sequence of events of recovery and what is actually the normal way that the book really tells us we should be living in this world, which applies to addicts and to human beings in general, which is first we straighten out spiritually and then we straighten out mentally and then we straighten out physically. So I can't change my own thinking. I don't have the power to do that. I can't change my own mentality. I can't change my own physical state. I don't have the power to do that as a compulsive overeater. But if I start by connecting to this higher power, straightening out spiritually, and this book is going to tell me how to do that, then all those things go in sequence. And, of course, it seemed ridiculous when I first heard it, but I found it to be true. And thank God for that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen G. from Toronto. Next up, we've got Suri C., followed by GNC. Good morning, Suri.
Good morning. It's my first time sharing for a while. I've been listening less routinely than I used to, and I need this program. So I am so grateful to those that keep it going daily and for those that do service. Resentment. Wow. backwards, forwards. Who do I resent? Do I resent the sponsors that I had that were so quick to let go? Do I resent my the people who thought that they heard recovery in me to the point where they called me for advice, even though they actually had spiritual, they had food recovery, they had put the food down? Do I resent my parents? Do I resent my kids? Do I resent my siblings, my ex-husband? The list, the problem is me. And it's terrifying to imagine that I'm spiritually sick. And that as I straighten myself out, I start to see, oh my God, how many of us are walking around spiritually sick? Like, that's really terrifying. And then I can get, it's a spiral, because fear is the opposite of true letting go and letting God, however you define him. I don't know what's up with my food. I do not have food neutrality. I pray for it. I may, you know, in terms of making a decision, well, it's really impossible to do these steps without the food down. And it's really impossible to put the food down without the steps. I don't understand where the sweet spot is. I'm just opening the door and saying out loud, God, please help me. I can't do this without you. Thank you for this fellowship that still exists. Thank you for the recoverers on the line that are doing service. Thank you for putting something in this world that gives me hope, that even though I don't have it today and I've been on this line for way too long, it is achievable. I'm not giving up hope. Thank you for being here, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Suri C. from New York. Glad you're here. Next up, we've got Jan C. followed by Jerry. And Jerry, I think we're going to have time for you. So we're going to do Jan C. and then Jerry S. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. This is Jan C. from Casa Grande, Arizona. And I am so grateful to be here this morning. Resentments. I'm so happy to say I don't think I have any resentments at the moment. I'm so grateful for that. I know when I came back into program about a year and a half ago, I had some resentments. I thought I would take to the grave, but guess what? I was able to work on them, share them with my sponsor in Fifth Step, make amends, and here I am today, and I have neutrality toward food. I'm able to listen to my higher power more. I'm able to engage in praying, and I've learned just so much more about two-way prayer, did some research on it, have more flexibility, and I don't have that. God, there I have, but I didn't do it. God has done it. And so I am just so, so grateful. And I'm trying, one of my practices that I really need to work on is my 10th step, so that I don't get resentments. And that's all I have to share today. For those of you who are new, please keep coming back. There's so much hope in these rooms. God bless. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jan C. from Arizona. Next up, we've got Jerry S.
Hi, this is Jerry S. in California. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everyone else who's giving service on the line. Step four for me on resentments, I call it my get-out-of-jail card, because I was in prison, but it was a prison that I built for myself. I was a prisoner of my resentments. And they ran around and took up space in my brain, but they all landed on my thighs and my butt because I ate over all those resentments. In my first step four, I had 67 people on that list. I blamed every single one for all my problems, and I took no responsibility. And so my sponsor said, well, pick one and start working step four. So I picked this woman I was working with who was driving me crazy. She was a control freak, and she wouldn't cooperate with me on work projects. So, of course, there was a fear that I was going to get fired because I couldn't even, I worked on. So the big book tells me that I need to pray for that bitch, I mean that woman, every day for 2 weeks. So I did that. And when it was over, I called her up and said, why don't we have lunch and get to know each other? And we did that. And we had a great time talking about non-work things and found out we had a lot in common. And after that lunch, I started kind of seeing her differently, and she didn't bother me as much. And, you know, when the grant ran out of that job, that woman wrote me the best letter of recommendation of any of my colleagues that helped me get a better job. So my sponsor said, be careful who you resent. They may become your new best friend. So I'm just passing that piece on. But the most miraculous part of step four for me was a resentment I carried for 18 years. My mom never got off step four. I never put her on step eight. It took me 18 years to get into that column five with God's flashlight. My sponsor said, take your mom to court and prosecute her with all your resentments. And I did that. And she says, okay, go over to the defense table now and defend your mother. And when I did that, you know, my eyes opened as to what it might have been like to be her, especially raising me. And thank God, before she died, I was able to put her on step eight and nine. And it just totally set me free, because it's the ninth step where you get the promises. And that was my experience. So anybody who's struggling with four, just keep putting one foot in front of the other and don't stop, because it took me 18 years and I've been programmed 22 years. Before my eyes were opened, I got a new pair of glasses, and I saw my mistakes. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry S. in California. And we have time for a two-minute share. Would anyone like to take that? Now we got a minute. Would anyone like to share and take us out with a minute?
Luann C. in Boise.
All right, Luann, go for it.
Okay, thank you for letting me share. The words that really hit me today were the final ones. You know, we were burned up. And when I think of a campfire, it needs fuel to really be a good fire. And, you know, what is burning here? My life is burning up. And I always thought I had life to burn. You know, when I was young, I married a man because, hey, you know, I'm 25. You know, if it doesn't work out, I'll get a divorce. And I burned up 12 years of my life. But today, I'm so grateful for this program because it's taken me from self-obsession to self-possession. And today I do the work, and that gives me the choice to be happy and useful and just the best life. So I just hope I hope you hear something makes you want to come back, because the solution is here. So thanks for letting me share, and I hope you all have a great holiday weekend.
Well, thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. What a great, great way to finish us off here this morning. So we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Hillary B., can you please read A Vision for You?
Here I am. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.